Good morning, Dr. Moti Kedar. How are you?
Alhamdulillah. Thank God, as we say in the Middle East.
Yeah. So many changes in your area right now. Where do we start? The last time we talked, it was so different. But now, Egypt, Syria, Gaddafi in Libya. What's going on there?
Well, this is what people were talking about, the domino effect. After all, these states, these Arab states, are illegitimate states. The borders of these states were marked by the colonialism, either the British or the French or the Italian. And these borders included together groups which through history were rival to each other. These are ethnic groups like Arabs and Kurds and Turkmens and Armenians, and religious groups like Muslims and Christians and Jews and Druze and Alawis and Mandays and Sabais and Zoroastrians and Baha'is and Ahmadis. Only 10 religions are in the Middle East. Then they had sectarian groups like Shiites and Sunnis, and the Christian side you could see the Greek Orthodox and the Greek Catholic and all kinds of churches. And the fourth division was between tribes, which are living in the Middle East, and tribalism, I would say, is the most effective power in the Middle East of today. And it's not only alive and kicking, it's alive and killing, yeah, in spite of the fact that we live in the 21st century. So all these groups, religious groups, and ethnic groups, and sectarian groups, and tribes, had to live together in one framework, like Iraq, Syria, Libya and others. This is why the state as a whole was illegitimate in the eyes of its own citizens, and the regime is always in the hands of one small group which takes over the whole place, usually by force and dictatorship, authoritarian regimes
like Gaddafi, Mubarak,
all of them.
Yeah,
all of them.
Yeah.
The only group of Middle Eastern states which are legitimate are the Gulf states, Kuwait, Qatar, Dubai, Abu Dhabi, Sharjah, Fujairah, Ras Al Khaimah, those in the Gulf, because every tribe is one state, and every state is one tribe. And when you have a state per a tribe, nobody fights anybody else.
Yeah, no clashes.
And they can take advantage of the oil. The oil is only the result, because Iraq, for example, has twice as big reservoir of oil like the Gulf. But Iraq is a failing state because of the instability of the social arena. This is why the political arena is also unstable, and therefore nobody invests in Iraq, and the economy of Iraq is actually in a total bankruptcy. So this is the issue. When you have one group state, a homogeneous state, the state is stable. While when you have a conglomerate of groups, these states are unstable. And you can see Afghanistan with its 11 ethnic groups, or Pakistan with 4 big ethnic groups which do not live nicely with each other. So this is actually what happens here. Through the years, the minorities which ruled those states maintained power by intelligence and by dungeons where they were torturing all those who were resisting them. But now we see this this volcano of 300 million Arabs who refuse to continue to live in such conditions, especially after they see in TV and they read in the internet, that there are other states in the world where life can be easier, where people are not oppressed, when people go to sleep at night in their bed and they wake up in their bed and not in a dungeon, being tortured after being taken through the night. And this is what they want today. It's not about democracy, it's about freedom, which is something different.
That goes good with the Passover that is coming soon.
Yes, definitely. Every nation, every group, every man, every woman wants to have his or her freedom from all those who are oppressing them. And here, the role of women, especially in Egypt, as we saw, is very significant, because on one side, those young ladies revolt against the regime, but implicitly, they also have much to say about the social regime which oppresses them as women.
So that's Arab feminism.
It's Arab feminism which takes the riots as kind of a cover. How to let young ladies the permission to go out to the streets and to do things through the night, you know, demonstrating and staying in all the piazzas, in the squares, only because this is a legitimate struggle for freedom. So meanwhile, while struggling for the freedom of the people, they gain their freedom from the familial oppression and the tribal oppression, being women.
Yeah, and that's being fed by the media, that they see everything around, they see things that are happening in other Arab countries, and that's moving them.
Definitely, because the media needs news, and Japan exhausted itself. So the media actually is part of the game here in the Middle East, especially the social media, the new media, the internet. However, I must mention here that what happens in Syria in particular is not only a revolt of the people against the regime, the oppressive regime, it is also on a religious basis, because the Alawis, the sect which, it's a religion, which governs Syria since 1966, they are viewed by Muslims as infidels. They are, according to what Ibn Taymiyyah wrote about them, in the 14th century, that they are akfar min al-Yahud wal-Nasara, means they are more infidel than Jews and Christians.
Yeah.
So not only they don't have the right to rule, being a minority, there is a big question if they have the right to live, being infidels. So this is the background of what goes in Syria. And in Syria, it seems an increasing wave of violence and mutual violence between the demonstrators and the regime. And the regime actually sees that it fights for its life, not only for its rule.
Yeah.
Because the Alawis will be slaughtered to death if they fail.
And how are things in Egypt now?
Egypt, I think, came to the point where the two parties which co-lived with each other since the 25th of January, since the beginning of the riots, so far they managed to live together. It's the army and the street, which behind the scenes is being driven, at least partially, by the Muslim Brotherhood.
Yeah.
These days, they come to a point where both sides have to decide who is leading the country. Is it the street with the Muslim Brotherhood on one side, or this is the army with its interests on the other side? They cannot anymore circumvent the question and the answer as well. This is why I think that they are somehow in a collision, a course which will bring them to what we didn't see until today, that the army shoots into the demonstrations. too many of the young people in the streets of Egypt feel that the revolution was confiscated by others, means by the army and by some sediments of the old regime. This is why almost every day we see another official from the Mubarak regime is being taken to be interrogated, and the army here and there shoots into demonstrations. So this is what happens there. It will take a long time, and I'm talking about something between months and years,
yeah,
until Egypt will have a stable, legitimate regime, civil regime, not the army. Just look at what happened in Iraq. For Iraq, it took like 8 years, and they have not accomplished.
It's not done yet. Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't have. They haven't yet accomplished the mission to build a new system which will be viewed as legitimate, at least by the majority of the people. So Egypt is not very different. It is different. But the potential of deteriorating into violence is there in Egypt. Don't forget that in Egypt, the Muslim Brotherhood, maybe they are not so violent, but there are some organizations which went out, which came out from the womb of the Muslim Brotherhood, and they are very, very vicious terrorists, as we saw in the 1990s, and earlier in 1981, they
yeah.
killed, they assassinated Sadat,
yeah.
and the tourists here and there. So we shouldn't overrule this possibility as well. Although in Egypt, too many people know that they do not want to reach the point which Iraq reached after 2003.
Yeah. Now, if we talk about Egypt, how does that work with the Palestinians? I know that the Hamas won Cairo's recognition. And
look, there are signs that the new regime in Egypt tries to be like in the middle, not to go all the way to Islam,
yeah.
but not to stay as hostile to Islam as it was under the Mubarak regime. They already allowed two Iranian ships to go through the
yeah.
Suez Canal, which never happened in the days of Mubarak. They accepted the delegation of Hamas, and more or less we can sense that the new regime, especially the army, tries to appease the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt by opening a new channel of negotiations and discourse with the Muslim Brotherhood of Gaza, which is Hamas.
Yeah. Now, Iran. What is going in Iran nowadays?
Iran today more or less lives on a timeout, mainly because of the tsunami in the Arab world and the real tsunami which happened in Japan.
Yeah.
Both drew the world's media for weeks, maybe months as well, from what happens in Iran. Iran more or less now is in the shade, tries not to make waves, and to let the hatred, as they see it, against Iran, being some kind of passé. So that's what I think. Although they have problems, intelligence organizations today discovered that they definitely might have already some kind of beginnings of military nuclear program. And yes, they are bringing people to be very worried about the future, not only of the Middle East, but the world entirely.
Yeah.
Mainly because of the fact that they are living above the Gulf, where a third of the world reservoir of neft of oil is hiding under the sea.
Now, what about the next boat that is going to head to Gaza soon? What do you think about that?
Well, it is a very bad thing. Israel will have to deal with this either by making some kind of international force which will check what goes on in these ships, and maybe we let them to get to Gaza after being checked by an international force. This is one of the possibilities which the Israeli government now tries to shape. On the other side, Israel tries with Cyprus, with Greece, with Turkey, of course, maybe to stop this and not to let those ships to go to their journey to Gaza at all.
One last question. The clashes between Israel and the Palestinians these days, are we heading to a spring war?
Not necessarily. But this is, I think, connected to what happens with the Palestinian case. And what do I mean by this? Because of what happened in the Arab world since January or late December, and especially since what happened in Japan, the world media more or less forgot about the Palestinians. They vanished from the TV, they vanished from the radio, and they vanished from the newspapers. Nobody really cares about them. Nobody deals with them. Because nothing happens here.
It's minor.
For the last three or more months, 4 months. This actually aggravates them very, very much, the Palestinians, especially Hamas, who were addicted to the media to see how they open news bulletins and how they have the big headlines, the super headlines of newspapers, how news bulletins and radio open with the Palestinians. Definitely, they were a very, you know, spoiled people covered by almost every media outlet every day constantly. Through the last 3 months, actually, everyone forgot about them. Everyone talked about Tunisia and Egypt and Bahrain and Yemen and now Syria and other states. While who cares about the Middle East? Secondly, when they see that the PA in Ramallah will or might get international recognition in September, this aggravates those in Gaza because, hey guys, how can you go forward? Don't forget about us.
What about us, yeah?
Yes, so this whenever they are frustrated from anything, either being abandoned by the media or being abandoned by Ramallah, they start shooting in order to draw the attention of the world, and of course the media, and this is why they do it, and this is why they shoot at Israel for the last three weeks.
Dr. Moti Kedar, I wanted to thank you and to wish you happy Passover and kosher.
Thank you very much.
And thanks a lot for having you.
My pleasure and my honor.
And I'm waiting to have you soon again.
Inshallah.
Inshallah. Chag Sameach.
Chag Sameach.
Thank you. And that was a recorded interview with Dr. Moti Kedar from Bar-Ilan University. That was recorded a week ago.